How about that podcast is never might not ever survive if we can't get it back up and running. That's pretty controversial.
What's that X-Men saying? Indie comic book noise. I hope you survive the experience.
David A. Price presents.
All right. Welcome back, listeners. Things are progressing apace here at the Noise Industries Complexes. I don't really have a name for our new creation, but we're back with another episode. It's a two-hander this time. Me, Andrew the LA Rabbit from Los Angeles. Hi, everybody. And from the frozen north, although it's summertime, WWX Kev from the Icebox. Say hi, Kev.
I'm getting all nostalgic for all our twofers, all our con men segments and all our con recaps where we went wildly off course for 45 minutes.
Born out of the genesis of Derek Coward's Deliberate Noise Network, we have splintered off and taken over. So far, the Marvel Noise show is working great. MarvelNoise.com, you can get it off of iTunes. That's going well. Indie Comic Book Noise has hit a snag. We have the website. Sometimes it's working, sometimes it's not. Have not gotten the iTunes up and running. Fingers crossed for all that stuff. Stay tuned. Who knows what's going to happen, but hey, at least Marvel Noise is working, and that ain't nothing. So you can find us on social media, like Blue Sky. Kevin, what's the Blue Sky handle?
Marvel ICBN Noise.
Yes, the nice thing about that is both shows share one handle.
Yes.
So that works out. But there's Facebooks and stuff like that. I don't, you know, really know what's going on with any of that stuff. But I do look at the Blue Sky sometimes. We're following each other, the show and I. So that works it out. But yeah, this is, we've taken over now for a while. You know, feel free to reach out. We're not really very good with computer stuff, unfortunately, so it's created some trouble. But we've gotten some comments, and I do look at them. So far, they've all been spam, but hey. Yeah. Yeah, I would probably suggest you can try and leave a comment on the website, but maybe stick with social media. You know, Blue Sky is kind of fun. You should check it out. I know it's like one more thing to sign up for, but, you know, it's kind of fun. There's comic book stuff on there and creators and everything.
Yeah, wherever you go, you can curate your experience. Like, I mean, I would always recommend that and always, you know, fuss around with things and change the tab and all that business.
So we will be releasing this on the Marvel Noise feed. So it's a Marvel Noise episode.
There we go.
I mean, if Indie Noise was working, we might have released it there. But hey, fingers crossed, we'll have it figured out. It's just, you know, it's hard, people. Computers are hard, you know?
You know, I would have had to bring some Marvel to Indie. So this, I don't know if this will work out better, but it might.
Yeah, and like, it makes me appreciate all the stuff that Derek did to keep everything. Yeah. Because he kept so many shows going. This wasn't just the Marvel Noise nonsense. This was, and the indie, this was all the, you know, Geek Brunch and DC Noise and all that stuff. So big thumbs up to him. But Kevin, I understand. Oh, do we want to talk about any news stuff? Is there any news?
Yeah.
Tease like, something before we started recording.
Yeah, I can quiz you about your reaction, because there's certain topics I feel like if something comes up like Ditko or Transformers or G.I. Joe or say Star Wars, I mean, you're the voice of this podcast for those properties, I feel like.
Well, I think Super Steve's a big Star Wars guy too. But I'm certainly bathed in Star Wars. I'm surrounded by all the little plastic guys and love all the comic books. And I mean, really, for me, the highlight was post the first movie, before they were when they let anybody do anything with a license. So the comics were crazy. The newspaper strip was insane. Like, they just, because they weren't worried about keeping it under one consistent roof. So, like, the knob splinter of the mind's eye. So none of that stuff stayed canon, because then they started doing other movies. But it was a fun time to have it be completely off the cuff and weird.
You're still waiting for that first appearance of Jackson to pop when he makes his debut?
Hey, I got the Marvel Legend toy.
Of course. So, I don't know. This is probably the, I've seen a bunch of reactions that were the same as my reaction. Like, I don't know how valuable my reaction is. But, yeah, they, Star Wars to cross over with the Marvel Universe for the first time. It's incredible, I always said, with their restraint, and them not jumping to that, like, almost immediately.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it hasn't happened before, but I guess it hasn't. I don't know. I guess I gotta take their word for it.
I mean, they've done some, like, I guess, like, cover stuff that was, like, Disney stuff, but it wasn't exactly Star Wars.
I don't think it was Star Wars. I don't, nothing... None of that stuff leaps to my mind. So yeah. I think they're legit with it.
Yeah. And I always wondered, like, if you would want them in one universe or want the other one in the other one's universe. You know, that type of business.
I'm guessing they want to come to Marvel because it might. I mean, it's all Disney now, so I guess it doesn't matter. But it's still hard for me to remember that everything's owned by Disney, so... But I always thought, oh, if they keep it in the Marvel Universe seems more prone to just weird things happening all the time. And it already has a multiverse. And, you know, it seems more fit than Star Wars, where they're going to be like, long time ago, galaxy far, what are they all time track? You know, how does that fit? Where Marvel, it's just some other Marvel 8732 or whatever, you know. I think conceptually it lends itself better to go that way, because our Marvel heroes are used to doing dumb stuff like that.
So they're not going to just zoom in on some planet and on Star Wars, and then Wolverine's there and be like, "What's up, bub?" or something. You know, just not. That's not how it goes.
Sounds dangerously close to ripping off Lobo, Kevin. If we're not careful. Can they rip off a rip off of a rip? I don't know.
I mean, ask some indie creator. Maybe that would be more appropriate. So yeah, I was not impressed necessarily with Kevin Smith being involved. I mean, it makes sense.
It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I know he's familiar with everything, but
well, that's what I mean. Like he's like, I guess he's still a pop culture icon and he still gets some eyeballs on stuff, but, you know, I mean, the writing him for is not great.
Yeah, Steve and I did give positive review to the Jay and Silent Bob crossover, the Jays of Future Past. We gave it a positive review on a recent episode of Marvel Noise, but that's him playing with his characters.
Yeah.
And then the Marvel is the setting, and I don't know how, but I'm also, I don't know, I just don't, I guess I'm supposed to be excited about it. If I'm being honest, I'm more excited about the Muppets one shot.
Oh, yeah.
That's more, I think, you know, I've enjoyed the Muppets and comics. They, you know, recently had a series at Dynamite, the noir one and everything, and I'm a big fan of those, so that seems more contained. But I mean, I guess I'll check. I don't know, I might just wait till it hits the unlimited. I don't know, I'm not right now, there's nothing moving me, but when I'm in the store and it's on the shelf and a big stack and there's all kinds of crazy variant covers and it's the Peach Momoko Star Wars mutant crossover comic, maybe I won't be able to say no. I am a sucker for just buying crap at the store.
I mean, this has been proven many times over.
Hey, and way to not jump in and defend me, Kevin. Not supposed to agree with me. So say no, and you've been tricked.
They got you. They purposely misled you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just so weird. I did read the recent Abnett, or was it Lanning, the space one, the Space Guardians one where they're working with Black Bolt. I really liked it. You know, I was kind of, it just wrapped up issue 5. I was weirdly sad when I read that last one, and I was like, oh, I kind of wish I was enjoying the ride. I kind of, that could have gone on for another. In some past days, it might have lasted more than 5 issues.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what really happened with that. Well, I guess people didn't read it, but I'm going to say that because of people, I mean, we've even said it, but I feel like, you know, even when a publisher is down, people are like, they skip everything from the publisher. So like some, like every book isn't bad or mediocre or has problems with it. So I feel like some books definitely got washed away before their time in the same.
Yeah, I think this one was probably always going to be 5 issues, but I just thought it was a fun, and it was a complete story and everything, but I was like, oh, I'm enjoying Marvel Cosmic again. This seemed like a fun way, and I don't know. I guess the next thing I'm holding my breath for is the Marvel Midnight, so.
I mean, betting on Hickman isn't exactly a losing game, like.
Yeah, I thought he really, for me, invigorated the X titles. Yeah. Now I faded after he left. I'll be honest with you. Maybe Andy wasn't the nicest guy for doing that, but they kind of, I mean, I think like with so much with Marvel, I also feel they wanted too much. They wanted it all. They did a massive expansion and then trying to coordinate that. And of course, you know, if you got a bunch of titles, no one's going to like all of them. No, it's impossible. So I don't know. I've been really enjoying narrow, focused, scoped universes, you know, like Skybound's doing with the Hasbro stuff, or this, the Cosmic stuff had a few titles, grabbing a little bit here and there. I mean, they don't have to be in sync with each other or anything, but I don't know. Fingers crossed, all this horror stuff will be fun. And it'll invigorate me. And maybe the new Doom movie will get me excited, too.
Maybe. You know what else might get you excited?
What?
Uncle Scrooge, A Christmas Carol one-shot.
As you know, the one Disney book I bailed on was this Uncle Scrooge. I don't know. I mean, the tone just wasn't for me. It's a hard... I really enjoyed the silliness of the Marvel Disney stuff. And I felt like they wanted to really undercurrent stakes and everything. And it just didn't work for me personally. It was like a weird mishmash of, it's not just being silly. It's, you know, really big things, you know, the multiverse is at stake or whatever type of thing. And yeah, I was out. I'm out, yo. Did you read the Scrooge, the Jason Aaron Scrooge stuff?
Yeah.
I'll read it on the Unlimited.
I think I enjoyed it the most out of all of us.
Yeah, I think you were the target audience. Yeah, so.
Which is weird. I mean, don't mark it to me, but I guess I was also like not one of those people that was like a big Uncle Scrooge fan, so I guess I was sort of like the general audience in a way that they were trying to appeal to in an odd way.
No, I agree with you. I think some of those particular duck type creators, they want that specific either Carl Barks or Don Rosa, that kind of vibe and feel, and going outside that would be risky because, you know, that's what they like about it. So you probably were the ideal test audience because you don't have much of a connection to that stuff. Yeah. I don't either, but I feel like it wasn't in line with the other Marvel Disney books with the classic characters, which were just taking old Marvel issues and mashing them with Disney guys.
That was kind of fun. I mean, I know that guy tried to bring more attention to some of those books because I just had a riot with some of those books.
So, I mean, because you forget how weird, like, the Miss Marvel, like, how strange that original one was.
Yeah.
And then you go read that, and then it's funny when they put mini. Yeah, I don't know. It was just a good way to take the goofiness of past Marvel comics and merge it with a different sort of silliness. And just that was this. And also, obviously, I'm an old head, so I appreciated they're parroting the condensed storytelling. And that compressed, condensed style appeals to me. But I also heard, Kevin, you maybe went to some foreign comic book shops.
Yes. Once again, I was doing the adventuring in the lands of trolls and moomins and what else do they have there? I was going to say like bear or moose, but that's kind of a Canadian thing, even though they do have some of that stuff there.
I was going to say Moomins are a pretty big comic book footprint, but maybe not so much for Marvel.
Oh, is it Pepe Longstocking? Is that's also big over there too.
If I could remember from my old Champions miniseries, whoever was the character they sent there when they had all those heroes from different countries that were usually just silly stereotypes like the leprechaun dude and all that.
The thing is, though, where the journey began, that was mostly indie comics I bought. So, I mean, I did go to a comic store in London, England. Is it weird that every time I say London, I have to qualify it because, you know, there's a major Canadian Ontario city called London. So I was trying to think of two cities in the world, California, that were big.
And a London in Ohio and Ontario, and it's a popular name.
Yeah. But can you think of two bigger cities that use the same name?
There's gotta be some. Paris, Texas, and Paris, France, and I don't know how big Paris, Texas is. I've never been.
That's what I'm thinking. Like it usually doesn't happen. I don't think.
There's Hollywood, Florida, and Hollywood's not its own city out here. It's just part of LA City, but still, there's a few. Now in England, are you getting the regular, or are they Panini editions or whatever?
Well, that's the funny thing, because they had regular comics. And then in the store, is it the weird thing? Maybe I didn't look hard enough. But I couldn't find the 20,000 AD like magazine proper. But when I was at an airport newsstand, I saw all sorts of things. So that's when I picked up the... Because I mean, you have to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
It sounds cool. You're at the airport, and you're grabbing the 2000 AD and a copy of the Beano to go.
Yeah. So the 20,000 AD is much bigger than wider and taller than the regular comics, which is cool. But yeah, I went to Forbidden Planet. Oh, I should mention it. I was not alone in this journey. I met someone from EOC time. 11 o'clock comics. So that was fun to explore a comic shop and point stuff out and go, look at that. Look at this. Look how expensive that is.
Whoa, there's a flash. The 11 o'clock comics board where we all this stuff originally kicked off.
Yes. So that was fun. I mean, I wouldn't say the Forbidden Planet one, like I've noticed it, it's the mega store and all that stuff, but I wouldn't it's a must go type of place for comic people, but I also wasn't blown away by the size of it. Like it could have been bigger, like I don't know, it just the place I went to next, I was impressed by. But this one, I was just like, it just seemed, I guess, regular store-ish.
Don't they also have a Forbidden Planet in New York? And maybe in Dublin, Ireland? I don't know.
Probably.
So I think I might have been to the one in Dublin 10, 15 years ago.
Was that any good?
It was okay. I mean, when I go, I'm usually buying locally produced comics.
So yeah.
I got a few, and I think I talked about an indie show, but one or two of them had like a Declan Shalvey did a variant cover for them type of thing, which was kind of nice, you know, local boy does good and remembers his roots. Either that or they caught him on the way up before he broke.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and then we also went, I'm trying to remember the name of the shop now. That's like the more indie shop. Surprisingly, it didn't seem like there was a lot of comics in the city. So, I don't know. Like, the comic scene seems big in England, but...
I bet you it's a lot like here in LA. Just, it's hard with retail square footage rates being so high. It's hard to have. I mean, in the last few years, so many shops around me have shuttered or gone online. Like, they're technically around, but they're not. You know, they might do a sale every few months in a parking lot or something. But if you're buying from them, you're just getting it online. And it's not really the same thing for me. I like going to a shop.
Yeah, I guess people didn't like that, or there wasn't. Maybe there's not a huge, like, community focus or something. I don't know.
Because the profit margins aren't great on the floppies. And if so you got to sell other stuff, and back issues take up a lot of room. So unless you're flipping high-end stuff, or maybe you got, I don't even know what crap you sell. I guess magic cards would be in Pokemon and stuff.
Yeah, I imagine.
If you supplement it with that. Because there are some combo card shop that have some comics out here.
Yeah.
But I think most of them... the ones I've been in, it's much more of like the gaming is the bigger thing. Like, they have some comics, but they're never like the ones with the crazy selection. It's like some Image, some Marvel, some DC, and then a whole lot of like tables and cards and all that stuff.
Yeah, the Forbidden Planet definitely had more of the like manga, Funko Pops, action figures. So I'm like looking if there's any figures that I need.
Funko Pop. Those out here, I just see at conventions, Kevin. I still see not like I used to with like booth after booth, but there's always one or two. They just have the walls of Funko Pop.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just like the mystery boxes.
I was thinking of you, Kevin. I'm like, if only he were here.
Right. Yeah, but I did see back issues too. So that was cool. I mean, the indie shop reminded me more of, like, The Beguiling. And I saw some stuff that I had already bought or seen, or there was stuff where I had, like, missed an issue or something, so I picked up one of those.
So are you now looking for just the regular editions, or are you trying to get, like, the locally, like I said, the Panini imprints and what, like, the foreign imprint of the North American book, or you don't do that? Like, I'm always trying to get like weird, like I said, because usually I'm in countries where they're not speaking English, so that's why Panini does all like the French and Italian and all that. But I just like, they package it together differently, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
might be a different size, or they put a few issues together, they add pinups, or it's rarely just the issue, you know, with different badging on the front.
No, I only go to English speaking countries. That's not true.
I speak a lot of English in Japan, but
no, but it's such a like a laziness thing where everyone basically knows, like, they know their own language and then they know like part of your language, so you're always just like, oh man, like it would be cool to have another secret hidden language. Like I guess I know a lot of French, but it's not like I speak French, but the amount of words that you know in French is just kind of ridiculous, because you just absorb it, right? So,
Yeah, the few times I've tried that, they usually just reply in English. I don't think they want to hear me mangle their language.
That's like the stereotype of, and maybe not stereotype, but like very, very true thing is like when Swedish people hear like broken Swedish, they're like, yeah, that's just speaking English. Like they switch to English immediately. But yeah, I look for like foreign editions of stuff, and then you know, local indie stuff that I like. Usually the regular stuff that you see is just too expensive, or like maybe they have some art book or something that has been printed over there that isn't available here. And then sometimes you'll just find hardcovers of stuff that you wouldn't get as a hardcover here. So there's that. So in the airport,
did you get any Marvel stuff?
Yeah. In the airport, I did see that newsstand, and yeah, I did have the Beano, which I assume is just basically kid stuff, I believe. And then you have your
but like gag strips that ages can enjoy, you know, like in a Sunday Funnies newspaper kind of way type of thing.
Yeah. And then you had your like your Spider-Man magazines and, you know, all that type of stuff. So that's when I got my 20,000 AD. And then I also got a Deadpool and Wolverine, The Wrath of the Wolverine. So they did have some, I think this is the Panini edition then. And this has like two issues in it. So I can read this one and everything. Oh, the funny thing too is they have the a poster inside, which I assume wasn't in the original thing.
No, I feel like all the Panini ones I've ever gotten, they always put like pinups in them.
Yeah.
They always have. I mean, they're usually just maybe like a double page spread style. Like they're not gigantic, huge things, but they're really cool. You get a free, you know, free little thing in it.
And then they're advertising the facsimile edition of the Punisher's first appearance on the back, which seemed to go over pretty well from what I don't know. They seem to be available, so whatever that means, right?
So as I've mentioned many times, I'm still buying the DC facsimiles, not buying any of the Marvel. I don't like the paper. So as long as DC keeps putting the cool paper out, I'm still there.
Well, it's funny because I went to Copenhagen and I heard of their comic shop. So I was expecting big things out of this shop because they're like, oh, yeah, they have like the RPG gaming floor and then the comics floor and like the sci-fi floor and everything. And you go there. Yeah, it's great. It's like way better than anything I saw in London. And their comic stock is way better than a lot of North American comic shops. Like just the English section, which is pretty incredible.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they don't have a lot of the places I go to around here don't have much for back issues, really. My local doesn't have it. There's one I go to sometimes that has some back issues, but like I said, I just think it's too expensive for them to stock that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I would say it's more of a memorabilia collectibles graphic novel store. Like, there's not much single issues there. But what it has is just pretty great. And then, like, hardcovers of, like, all these things. Like, the Spider-Man McFarlane stuff. Like, they had two volumes of that in hardcover, and it's, like, six issues. And it's like, if you ever wanted that in hardcover in another language, well.
Like I said, I always joked that that's how I'm going to learn a foreign language, and it never works. I've learned zero. Despite having Italian, French, all these German, all these different, I still have not learned a single bit of any foreign language, so.
Well, apparently you're supposed to watch movies with subtitles, right? That's the secret?
That's one of them, but I used to hear people would get American comic books and learn English that way. I'm just like, I guess I'm too stupid. I can't figure it out. And I'll sometimes pull out the English language one right next to it.
The best I get is learning words.
Yeah. I learned how to say Spider-Man in Italian. It's Spider-Man, by the way.
But it's also interesting what displays they have. Like, what are the... Like, I had the whole thing before about the Evergreen Marvel books. And they're like, there's no Evergreen Marvel books. And I'm like, whenever I see some display in another country, they have it figured out. Like, they have Venom on the racks. They had Todd McFarlane. It's Miles Morales. X-Men, God Loves, Man Kills, Spider-Verse. Like, they know what to put out there.
Yeah. I kind of think Kraven's Last Hunt might be another one.
Yeah. So that was funny. Like, just seeing stuff like that. And then there's, like, a whole Harry Potter section, it seems like, with, like, costumes and stuff like that. Like, all these, like, Westerns, you know, what is it? The Blueberry hardcover books, Tintin. There's a giant Tintin section, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Plus all the Moomins. They better have some damn Moomins.
I don't think they had... I don't know if they had any Moomin books in Copenhagen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe they sold out that week.
That could be. That could be. I mean, Moomin stuff is just sort of around, sort of in general. Like, you'll find a keychain or something, but not always the books.
Wait, did you find any actual Moomins? I would be totally thrilled if I was out wandering around and ran into a Moomin.
I mean, am I supposed to say, like, that might be classified information.
Yeah, don't they believe in, like, elves and trolls and stuff out there?
Of course.
Yeah, so there might be a Moomin.
And mermaids, right?
Just football players, I think.
I mean, things are expensive, though. That's the thing. I mean, things progressively got less expensive as the trip went on. But the one thing...
Well, I can tell you didn't come to Los Angeles, because stuff's expensive out here, so...
Oh, maybe. I wonder, I didn't do a conversion between your currency and, the Danish krona? But one thing I did...
It's so expensive, I paid $5.99 for real a gator.
What?
Which you won. From Bad Idea.
Oh.
And this is a very thin issue. But it's the Venditti with that artist. They're doing those weird monster ones. And I just really like the artist.
Yeah.
So I was like, dang it, $7. But I like this guy. What can I say?
Yeah, well, don't you get the premium package?
I don't think so. It's just a comic book. It's premium. I mean, it has a cover on it, I guess. Is that
Well,
premium?
Does it have cardstock covers and all that?
It's a little bit thicker cover, but it's not cardstock or chromium or anything like that.
So it's just not a self cover.
No, it's not that. But I mean, it's not like a fancy cover. But I don't know, the McKinney guy. I like his artwork because he did another one that was really short.
Yeah.
Also, another one of the monster ones. I was like, boy, this guy knows how to make fun cartoons. But anyway, so America's expensive.
Yeah, so comic book is expensive. Less expensive for you, obviously. But probably still expensive. But what wasn't expensive was these facsimiles of old Marvel comics.
Oh, those are expensive. I paid $7 for that Detective Comics that just came out. Detective Comics 27. I mean, I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
That comic is probably worth, like, $700,000 in any condition. But I had to pay $7 for it.
Only
$7? They put the $6.99 right on the cover. Well, it's also 64 pages.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because remember, it's going to have the Batman, but it's going to have all the other dumb crap that no one likes. You know, Smash Hannigan or whatever, all that. You know what I mean? Because back then it was the people like it for the Batman story, but remember, that's like 7 pages of it. Most of the rest of it's going to be all the other crap.
I'm buying it for Slam Bradley.
What was the... So what are the Marvel one's going.
Oh, so I got Amazing Fantasy 15.
Whoa, that's another expensive book. I've seen that go for tens of thousands of dollars.
But it was just cool. They had like a spinner rack type of setup, and they had like all these different facsimiles up there. Like, I got the Fantastic Four number one.
Were they in English or in other languages?
No, they're not. And that's why I wanted them too. Like, very classic comics, but in another language. I'm like, this is a variant. Technically, this is a variant.
Yes. Oh, is the paper good?
That's the funny thing. Like, it's thick cover stock cover, but it's not like super gloss, but it's, you know, it's not cardstock, but it's heavier. And the inside is newsprint. So probably meets your approval.
Oh, I would buy those for sure. That's what this feels like too. Speed Saunders, Ace Investigator.
So you could like get Buck Marshall. And like some, I think they had a lot of early Amazing Spider-Man issues too that were reprinted like that. So I'm like, that's pretty cool.
Nice. I mean, I don't think I would have bought a ton of them. Probably just would have bought one or two.
Yeah. Yeah. So the intro, like they have ads in here of like other, you know, Spider-Man stuff. And then they have like a little intro. I assume they're talking about like Amazing Fantasy and, you know, its origins and everything.
Wait, it doesn't look too modern though, right? You could probably sell it to some idiot and tell him it's the foreign edition from 1968 or whatever.
I guess you could.
And that's why I'm buying all these DC ones. And this one does say $6.99 on the cover, but I'm sure I can find some guy who doesn't know what comics cost back in the.
But it's so funny. 40s. Like, they combine like both like English and Danish on here. Like, it's Amazing Fantasy in English. Spider-Man's in English. But then, like, they just leap to the... Oh, Peter Parker's in English. But then everything else is basically, like, another language.
Yeah, well, I mean, I assume that it's like the names. They want to keep the names in the correct one.
Well, I've seen Spider-Man in different... Like, they've translated Spider-Man. So, they did not do that this time. And you know what's good about this is they have, like, the full issue. Like, it's not just, like what are you going to do, right? Like, the first issue is, like it gets there quickly. Well, it's a classic compression story.
Like the Detective Comics. Like, the Spider-Man bit's only only that one segment. The rest are a bunch of other dumb stories.
Yeah, so they include the rest of that Amazing Fantasy 15 in here, which is cool.
Yeah.
And then ads for like Daredevil Born Again in here. And then the other one, Fantastic Four number one. Of course, Fantastic Four is on the cover. Thing, Mr. Fantastic, Human Torch, Invisible Girl.
They translate
all in English.
World's Greatest Comic Magazine.
That's not on here.
Whoa. I think you got a shitty copy. I mean, I think you got a bad copy. Forgot what show we're on.
I don't know. It's weird because they also have on here. Oh, maybe that is. You think that's Greatest Magazine? I don't know. Like, it's like God Can't Series Fans Overwrought. That's probably terrible pronunciation. You think that's World's Greatest Magazine? Or something to that effect? Or maybe that's the Comics Code Authority, but Spider-Man's head is on it. I don't know. But these were like around $6 or $29.95, maybe? It's confusing doing the conversion. But yeah, they have like Hickman's Fantastic Four advertised in here. And then they also have, like, they have the full issue, but they also have like a little write-up. And then they have part of, this must be Hickman's run in the back too. So it's interesting cross promotion. But next, this is where I go a little indie and everything again. I got an issue of Transformers.
Whoa, from the Marvel one or the new Skybound?
The Skybound one. This was in a newsstand in a train station. That seems to be like the easiest place. And I guess maybe that's where you have the captive audience where people are looking for something.
Yeah.
Like sometimes
that's pretty cool. So is this in English or no?
No English. This one's Swedish. I think it's Swedish. I believe so. Because I know sometimes I've seen things twice and I'm like, oh, I'll just wait to another location and I'll pick up something cheaper.
So they translate the names there, or is it still Optimus Prime?
I mean, they didn't translate Transformers. They didn't translate Void Rivals. But where do they... Where would they say Optimus? I'm assuming they would not... they would say Optimus Prime, right?
Yeah, yeah, you would think. I don't know. I mean, maybe he's Optimus and then whatever the foreign word for Prime is. But I would think his name would still be... I don't know. It's a question for the translators, I guess.
Oh, Decepticon.
That's cool.
Decepticon isn't actually... It has Decepticon sen. So I assume that's translated into Swedish. So maybe...
Also, sometimes maybe it means something in that language, so they want to translate it or move it to something else.
Yeah.
Make it different, you know what I mean?
But it's funny, because this is one of like the earlier issues of Transformers.
Whoa, get that on eBay, Kevin.
I know, right?
Well, so, Daniel Warren Johnson issues are, especially if he drew it, those are worth some money.
Yeah, so
which
it's
printing
only,
is it?
It's only issue 7, and it says... 2/2026. So, is this the February issue and it was still on the newsstand? Like, it seems like this series isn't coming out very frequently, but it's still coming out.
Yeah, yeah. They might just have it on the newsstand till their distributor gets more or whatever.
Yeah, so there's an issue of Transformers in here, and then there's Void Rivals in here as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and this is like... like a glossy card, not cardboard, but like way closer to a cardboard, but like a glossy cover. And then the inside is more of a glossy paper type of deal. And the thing is, it looks like they have variant covers for these too.
Oh, I would expect, I mean, that's a, why not have them if you're, you know, that's seems to be the cheapest edition to have. So good for them.
Yeah.
I should enjoy it as well.
I remember seeing some Judge Dredd magazines too, but it seemed like they were like $20, $25. And I was like, what? Like way out of my price range.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
it was a gimmick.
I think the only Marvel title I saw there was like the Immortal Hulk, I think, was on the newsstand. Something like that. Sadly, I did not pick that up. And then it was gone. I did not see one later on. But when I got into Stockholm proper, went to Comics Heaven, that comic shop that I had previously been to in the old town there, and I was looking through a bunch of their back issues, because I don't think I bought anything last time. I'm like, I could have bought like a Swedish Spider-Man t-shirt or something, but they had a lot of editions that are like the reprints. It must be like, I don't know how long it took them to translate the stuff, but 90s comics, and then whenever they came out, like, I don't know if they were, like, really close to the 90s, or if it came out, like, 10 years later or something, but it has 1991 on here. So the bunch of foreign comics there. So, I mean, you saw, like, first appearance of Cloak and Dagger, which was like about $15, but foreign edition. Like a J. Scott Campbell covers, McFarlane covers. So I had to get something. So I ended up getting the McFarlane, you know, Chance, that classic cover where he's shooting down at a black costume Spider-Man.
Nice.
And I had better luck this time with the comic inside actually being the comic. I mean, I remember picking up that Spider-Man 2099, and then you look inside, and you're like, this isn't the first issue, but that's the cover of the first issue on it.
Hey, it's hard keeping that stuff straight. Pardon the money.
So this was like $49, but that translated to like $8. So I'm like, $8 for a comic, I guess kind of expensive, but I mean, it's also a McFarlane foreign variant type of deal, so... I mean, that place is all right. I haven't been to one there where it's like an indie shop or like like a Swedish. It seems like it's an American based comic book store, but it also has a bunch of like European and Swedish, Finnish comics. Sort of like under the table and everything. Oh, they have some CGCs there too. That's what's funny.
Yeah. Oh, those got to be expensive for shipping.
Because nowhere else do you see CGCs, but there's actually CGCs there. So that's kind of weird.
Very. Yeah. Well, sticking that in your suitcase for the trip home would be right. Risky anyways. Better take that as carry-on.
Yeah. Do you have anything to declare? Yeah, all these CGCs.
That sounds all in all a fun trip.
For sure.
All right, before the man cuts us off, I don't know if this will be part of another episode or it's all on its own, but if it is, thanks for listening, everybody. Kevin, any last thoughts?
Go to more comic stores.
Good.